sin. It's His job, not mine, not yours, but it's the Holy Ghost's job to convict of sin. Now He uses you and He uses me in the life we live, the testimony we give, the word we preach, but yet it's the Holy Ghost that does the job. Notice in the text, not only the suddenness of His coming, but the surety of His coming. It's already been proclaimed in the Word of God that He was coming. And then it's proclaimed the Word of God, in the hour you think not, the Son of Man shall come. He's coming again. Just as sure as you and I are sitting here tonight. And then He wants us to know that there's going to be a sign, many signs before His coming. In the last days, perilous times shall come. Seems like we're in them. Seems like the world starts hating more and more Christianity, and they hate the things of God. And He is surely going to come, the surety of His coming. And then verse 9 says, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them so sudden. And the glory of the Lord, the glory of the Lord shone round about them on a dark night, no doubt. But the glory of the Lord was the illumination there. And when He comes and takes us home, He's going to be the light of the whole city of God. We'll need no light there because He is the light of the city. The surety of His coming, the security that you and I will be with Him because we have been redeemed by the wonderful grace of God. Because we heard the story that Christ Jesus was come into the world. But the text says the angel of the Lord came upon them and the glory of the Lord shone round about them and they were sore afraid. They had not been around something like that before. They were just lowly shepherds doing their job. But when it comes, it reminds me of when the Holy Spirit came upon me as a 12-year-old boy. I didn't see any bright lights. You may have. I didn't. I just felt the suddenness, the awfulness that I was going to a devil's hell. And I realized that I did not have to go, that I was invited to come see the glory of the Lord in Christ Jesus. And seems like supernaturally He took me there to the throne and I saw myself, a lost individual, but I didn't have to stay that way. And just as suddenly as He spoke to my heart, I was given the opportunity and the desire and the ability to believe in my heart upon His name. And the shepherds now, they have suddenly and swiftly seen the glory of the Lord. But it goes farther than that because once you see it, there's words to be spoken, a message to be given. It doesn't leave us when conviction comes. Just stricken with that thing, you're going to hell. No, there's words to come. But you don't have to go. There's a child that's been born in Bethlehem, the Son of God. He came to die. He came to live and to shed His blood for you and I so we don't have to die. So the message was, and the angel said to them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Do you as an individual remember the day that you were convicted so heavily? You may say, I went through conviction a week or a month, whatever. But do you remember the awfulness, the fear that grasped your heart when you realized that without Him you were going to perish? Well, they had a fear of that because when the Holy Ghost shows up and when the glory of the Lord shows up, there is a holiness, there is a fear. But yet it can be taken away so suddenly at the word of Jesus that I died for you, I love you. Come and bow at my feet and believe the report and I'll save you. And now the angel was speaking, the shepherds were listening. And as the great fear was upon them, the fear went away because the message was so clear. How much clearer could you say it than what was spoken to them? Not only was there a sign given, but then the multitude of the angels came and sang a song. It says they were praising God, but in the Greek, the word also means singing with the song, praising God in harmony. Whether you're praising God with a tune or not, it's still praising God. But they were with the heavenly host, were singing and praising God. But let's look at the report together. And verse 10 says, and the angel said to them, fear not. There's no fear when you submit to His Lordship. Now, the glory of God's around us and we're not in it and we don't understand it, there would be fear. But he wants to invite us to come to where he is. And all the fear is gone. The fear is gone and replaced with the peace of God, the joy of the Lord, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding. So the message was so clear. And the angel said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings. God did not come to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved, to show them that without him, there is no hope. But then once we realize that as a lost individual, and we've seen the glory of God and the conviction upon your heart, though it was a dreadful thing at the time when you were in it, but then when you believe the report, and only the Holy Ghost can do that. Only the Holy Ghost can take it from the thought that you're dying, and all you have to do is believe it. He shows you how to believe. And once you accept that, the fear is replaced with the greatest joy in all the world. But no, not only that, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. We preached about the joy of the Lord this morning, how the joy of the Lord and the preeminence before God redeemed the world and before he spoke the world into existence, he already had a plan. And we saw that this morning. We saw that we ought to praise him for the joy that there is and the joy of knowing him. But now look what happens in verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The message was he's born. But furtherance of the message is he's born to you. And not only is he born to you, but go inquire. Go see. And look how easy it is to get to where he was. Now, I don't know the size of Bethlehem at that particular time. But remember, God is the one that came to man, and he can direct man to himself. We're lost, we're undone. Without the angel appearing to the shepherds, they couldn't in no wise find out where he was. There might have been other babes born that night. But only the Holy Ghost through the angel or the glory of the Lord can lead us to where he is. And once we're willing to accept that, fear is gone. And they hastened to go. They could not wait to be where he wanted them to be. Is that the way it was with you when you got saved? Couldn't wait for the next service. Couldn't wait to get home alone and just open up the good word of God. Just to get alone with him and thank him that he had came to you and replaced the fear and the dread with the peace and the joy of the Lord. As we, this Christmas season, are singing songs about his birth and the angels, every day should be like that with us, just to know that we've been redeemed. Redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The peace and the joy that comes from that beauty. And then, verse 11 says, born unto you this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. It fulfilled the scripture that had already been written by Isaiah and others, that he will be born, and he will be born in Bethlehem, the house of bread. And he came to, at the time, only he could do that, and at the right time, he convicts hearts of sin. Now, the shepherds had a choice, and I had a choice, and you had a choice. They were told the good news that Christ Jesus, the babe, is born in Bethlehem. Go inquire. Fear is gone now. Do you want to go or do you want to? It's probably a pretty good little journey. They had to lead their sheep. And if every one of them left, the sheep may have been in the sheepfold, but there was wolves and there was bears. But when something like that happens and the glory of the Lord appears to you, nothing else really matters. The sheep have to be left alone, or the busy lifestyle or all the plans that you and I have. When God speaks to your heart and says, come and inquire, I want to show you something, then everything else is secondary, and you rush to where the scene is, where he wants to show you himself. Now, at that particular time, in verse 12, and this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger. He always gives a sign. It's not just any babe that's born in someone's living room or someone's home or a doctor's office. It's a special child. And the way of the Lord is so important. There's only, you can't explain to other people about salvation, seeing the Lord. It has to be a personal experience. Those shepherds, once they went and seen him, they got so excited, they didn't go back to their sheep. No, no, no. They just went through the neighborhood and across the country telling the people the good news that Christ Jesus was born and we were invited and we saw him, we beheld him. And other things were not this important anymore. And once you get saved, you realize that my life belongs to him. Everything about my life, he orders, he orchestrates. He's the one that's in charge of my life. And they just kept on praising God and they getting excited about it. And there's a sign, you'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. And then suddenly, I can, I like to think about this. Remember the angels in heaven, God can send them down. Heaven is a long way away, light years away, no doubt. But God doesn't have to have a special means. You know, spaceships travel at 50-something thousand miles an hour. And that's moving on, but heaven is, God just sent those angels, and the angels, I wonder if they inquired. Now, Peter says they were gazing over, looking over the banisters, so he's trying to understand all that's going on, didn't understand it. But suddenly, God let them come. The Bible says, a multitude, suddenly, just like the suddenness of the first angel that appeared to the shepherds, now after they had decided to go, the angels from heaven, a multitude of them, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Let's look at that verse 14. Suddenly, there was with the angels a multitude on the hillside. And the same thing that they were doing now, they'd been practicing and doing in heaven all those years. We're told in the book of Ezekiel that the seraphims, and they sang around and praising God, holy, holy, holy. And they were quite used to that. And now they had come to earth, and they were singing on the hillside, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good will to men. Let's look at that in three different aspects. First of all, glory is given. That's the first thing God wants out of your life and mine. Glory. Glory to him. And then the second thing, peace. He came to give peace to this world, to individuals. Why? Because he is a prince of peace. He's the author of peace. He is our peace. So glory is given, represents the glory of God, and peace, and then good will. That's why he came. He did not condemn. He came to save and to show us our sins. Let's go back and look at it together now. The Bible says, glory, no flesh shall glory in his sight, glory to God. Now, this is the multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, this is what they were singing. There was a sign that says, go to where he is, swaddling clothes, manger, Bethlehem. But now the multitude was glory to God. And everything in their life should bring glory to him first. Second of all, look what he said, on earth peace. He created the earth before he created man. He's just doing it in order now. All glory about the creation belongs to him. The fact that he came to this sin-cursed earth and was willing to leave heaven, glory to him. Glory to God in the highest. Where's God? In the highest, holy place, holiness. You know how we're going to get there? The way of holiness leads to the throne of God. Without holiness, no man shall see God. I cannot create in myself holiness, neither can you. But the Holy Spirit, the Christ child, the Redeemer, the one that shed his blood, when we visit him after we're invited, after we're illuminated, after we're shown him, then we'll be bringing glory to God. Exalt his name. Did not Jesus teach the disciples? They would say, Lord, teach us to pray. And he taught them in like manner, hallowed be thy name. Before we get down to the details in their prayer life or in their living or in anything else that's important, recognize the holiness of God. It'll get you to the throne room. It'll get you inside the throne room. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed, lifted up, glorified. Coming again, be thy name. And when you say that with your mouth and believe it in your heart and accept the fact that everything else, the prayer life, is secondary, the first thing I have to do is glory to God. Exalt Him. That's what the angels were saying. Glory to God in the highest. And without giving Him glory and honor and praise, He's due, there won't be any peace within any individual's heart. There cannot be peace on the earth unless we're willing to glorify the God of heaven. Then He says, peace in the earth. There's going to be no peace in the earth between nations or anywhere else until He comes. But there can be, present tense, a peace within any individual's heart that accepts the fact that they're a sinner, they're lost, they're undone, and He, through invitation of the Holy Spirit, convicts hearts, illuminates, and we're willing to give God the glory for everything He's done. Then He, the Prince of Peace, comes and eradicates, erases all the sin, and gives His peace to your heart. And after those two things, look what He says, and goodwill to man. He came to give life. He came to give eternal life. And that's His will, that none should perish, but everyone should have salvation. Our job in the whole world that gets saved is to do as the shepherd did, glorify God, because He gave them an opportunity to see the Christ child. He's done the same for you. Not visibly with your eyes, but even more importantly, in your soul. Remember the night or the day or the period of time when He convicted your heart and you were miserable. I hope you were. If you didn't get convicted of your sin and you didn't get miserable, I don't know if you were able to repent of your sins. You have to realize you're lost, and lostness is on the road to destruction. That's an awful state. But then the glory of the Lord sets in. And it doesn't last for me but a second. When I accepted in my heart who He was and what I wanted to do, how I wanted to praise Him and give Him glory in every facet of my life. 12-year-old boy, I didn't know much. Still don't know much. But I know Him. And I'm invited, and you are too, to tell others about the glory of God. Now the shepherds. A couple more verses. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away. Remember that time, or those times when the Lord comes to you and nothing else is important. He just surrounds you with His glory and His love. But then you have to go home, or then you have to go somewhere else. And it seems like it. And the world sets in again. And we're still in the flesh. Look what happens. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away, the songs had stopped. They're down there. They have seen the Christ child. He's accomplished in their hearts what He wanted to, because they were obedient. The shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even to Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. The shepherds not only made haste in going to see, but after they saw and after they heard, and after they witness and use us, that glory belongs to Him. Peace He gives us and goodwill toward us, only if we're willing to give Him glory in our lives. And they said one to another, I don't know the words they said exactly, but I would say, and this is good stuff. It's too good to keep to myself. I'm saved. My family's saved. Some of my good friends are saved. But the world's lost. Let's go and tell others what we've experienced. And that's what happens at the new birth. Jesus came to give life, to give it more abundantly. And after we receive Him as Lord and Savior, we're not our own. We've been bought with a price. It's our job to go live a life before Him, not just in word, not just in deed, but everything about our prayer life should be, Lord, what can I do to help win the lost? I was blessed this week to visit the Gospel Hour studio in Newport, Tennessee. Got to talk with Don, Dr. Smith's son, Dr. Don, for a while, and Miss Fran, the 92-year-old sister that spent her whole life helping Brother Smith run the business, the radio business, and she's still healthy, still driving. And Miss Linda and her husband, which has been with them 36 years. And what a joy it was. I remember going there before a few times, and she said, just take your time and go in his office. It's just like it was. After he died, nothing's moved. There's his chair, there's the pictures. And just to say, Lord, he just followed you. Just bowed his knees down in Greenville, South Carolina. Same as I did, same as you did. Acknowledge his sins and God's ability to erase those sins. And he gave himself wholly to you for all those years. Lord, just give me a little touch of what he had. Just a little touch. And then I was able to go in the broadcast studio when he sat there. He averaged preaching four times a day. A day, not a week, a day. All those years, 80-something years, devoted, like the shepherds were doing. Yeah, we have sheep and we have things to do, but there's a world that's lost. They need to hear the good news. Sacrifice, sure. He could have been doing a lot of other things, and so could we, and so could the angels. But it was important enough to them to say, let's go tell. Let's leave what we were doing and make something else more important. First of all, glory to God. Receiving His peace and telling others that God came to save sinners. Goodwill toward men. Would you stand? Heads are bowed. Brother Ray, it'd be good if you'd come back and play the organ music again. I like that. Music to worship by. Altar is open. Lord puts on your heart. I haven't in my life done a good job telling, putting Him first, giving Him glory. But I pray every day, Lord, help me to be more like You, more like Brother J. Harold Smith, more like great men of old. We can be. It's just being dedicated. You might like to do that too and just bow and tell Him what you think and tell Him how important it is that the glory of the Lord shone in your life, illuminated you. Be thankful. Shepherds were. And we're just like them. Just out doing their job until He comes to reveal Himself to us where we are. He came to them. He came to you. Would you play? Amen. Thank you for that beautiful music. When done what the Lord told you to do, now mind Him. Minds and hearts clear. Brother Jerry, if you'll come up here, please, and dismiss us. Thank you for coming. Thank you for things closing and getting close to the end of the year, isn't it? Looking forward to next year, Lord willing. If He comes, that'd be even better. But if He doesn't, let's pray that God will use us mightily. And He will, if we're usable. He always uses that which is usable. Really, man, I love to see the anointing of God on people. And I realize it's so simple. He anoints people that's anointable. And if we're anointable, and you want Him to, He will anoint you to do what He wants you to do. If we're willing to give Him the glory.
Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank You for the opportunity and the will and the way to come to Your house today, dear God. We've heard about Your precious love, about the child that You sent to this earth that grew into a Savior, dear Lord. I pray, dear God, that the awe and wonder of that love that You've given us would always be afresh in my heart, dear Lord. Always be afresh in my heart, so that Your love could shine to an unsaved world. In Thy precious Son's name we pray. Amen.